Thank you. भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 9. Krishna is telling Arjuna how to attain the Supreme. This was goes like that if one wants to know the Supreme Absolute Truth, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master and he has to learn. The learning process is not self-manifested, rather it has to be studied under the care of a bona fide spiritual master. So, the previous verse was telling about that necessity to study. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham devyam yati parthano chintan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So, Krishna distinguishes two things. We may be religiously reading Bhagavad Gita, but not studying it. So, the result obtained by simply reading is quite different than one which is obtained through proper study under the care of bona fide spiritual master. So, what are the things that has to be studied? What should one meditate upon? This particular verse tells further, Kavim Puranam Manushasitaram Anoraniyam Samarnu Smaritya Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasat Parasthat. Kavim means one who knows everything. Puranam, the oldest. Anushasitaram, the controller. Anoham, then the atom. Aniyamamsam means smaller. Anusmarit, always think of. Yaha, one who, sarvasya, of everything. Dhataram, the maintainer. Achintya, inconceivable. Rupam, whose form. Aditya Varnam, luminous like the sun. Tamasaha, to the darkness. Parastarkness, transcendental. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. And the Purport Srila Prabhupada tells, the process of thinking of the Supreme is mentioned in this verse. The foremost point is that he is not impersonal or void. One cannot meditate on something impersonal or void. That is very difficult. The process of thinking of Krishna, however, is very easy and is factually stated herein. After all, the Lord is Purusha, a person. We think of a person Rama and the person Krishna. And whether one thinks of Rama or Krishna, what he is like is described in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Just meditate upon this. Have we ever thought of Krishna and Rama, the way Krishna is telling about how to think, how to study in so minutely. First of all, the Lord is Kavi. That is, He knows past, present and future. And therefore knows everything. He is the oldest person because He is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of Him. He is also the supreme controller of the universe, and He is the maintainer and instructor of humanity. If He does not care to instruct us, we would know anything about ourselves also. Who are we? And we will never experiment the way He tells us to. In the same direction. He is the smaller than the smallest. The living entity is 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair, but the Lord is so inconceivably small that He enters into the heart of this particle. Therefore He is called smaller than the smallest. As the Supreme, He can enter into the atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as a super soul. Although so small, He is still operating and is maintaining everything. Because He is also simultaneously entering into each and every inert particle and sustains it too. Whether we call it a ground state sustenance or activated state. It is being taught in chemistry that some of the elements are at ground state. They do not interact. They don't have capacity to interact with other elements. But elements like uranium, plutonium, like that, they are very enriched and they are very activated state. But regardless, if you see the atomic structure, where the positive particle, that is proton, along with the neutron, and electrons are surrounding and orbiting that particle. And orbit is a dynamic action. Who sustains that activity? Even in an inert particle? It is inconceivable for the scientist. They are trying to trap that particular particle called God particle. They have some sense to call it God, because there are some Indian scientists also involved in this pretty heavy experiment. Last year I must have spoken to you about this. Now they abandoned that whole project. That's the second greatest retreat that scientists have to take. About 25 years back, the scientists made a 10-mile radius tunnel south of Dallas, Texas. In this big tunnel, they wanted to bombard the electron and split an atom to find out, the subparticles. But during that, because they already postulated this particular theory by some initial experiments, and two American scientists already got their Nobel Prize in 1956. And Prabhupada quotes this in Easy Journey to Another Planets. Easy Journey to Other Planets, the first book he wrote, the very first article describes this particular fact, that scientists have found out something which they cannot track in their hand. It escaped, but they found out. And now they want to capture the escaped particle. Whatever they did, it was like this. Now, the Nobel scientists proposed three things in their paper. The first one, that during the splitting of the atoms, they were calculating the total mass, the weight of that particular atom. Collecting all the particles that are formed, calculated, and it should be the same weight. But they found something is missing all the time they subsequently bombard the electron. Something is missing. And it is a constant thing that is missing. Only they can measure material particle accurately, but the one that is missing they cannot measure. So therefore, they found that there must be existing a kind of opposite particle which is behaving exactly opposite of material particle. This was the first proposition, and they call it antiparticle. We call it non-material particle, but it is called antiparticle, one which has an opposite characteristics of the particles. So, that was the first proposition, and Prabhupada gladly said, yes, we do agree with this. And we call this antiparticle as Atma. The second proposition was there, that there must be existing an antiparticular world, because it gives us constant negative results. They haven't seen it. They could not capture it yet. But they could estimate only through their so-called measurement. Alright? So, they say that there must be existing an antiparticular world. And Prabhupada said, yes, we do agree with this proposal also, and we call it Vaikuntha Jagat. Then the third proposition was then, that in given time and space, when the both the material and anti-material world will come and collide, there will be total devastation. And Prabhupada said, we don't agree with this. Because they don't understand that Vaikuntha Jagat is a reality which was never created, never annihilated. And this antiparticle is also part of it, therefore it is never created nor annihilated. How is it possible for total annihilation? It's not possible. And this particular world is only 1/4 of total creation. Ek Padvibhuti. So, this kind of propositions, and they got Nobel Prize. And Prabhupada did not get it, because they wouldn't understand. It is inconceivable. But Prabhupada is putting a very nice purpose here. So, this was a fact. In 1956, then they got the Nobel Prize. So, they wanted to capture this antiparticle. So in Dallas, Texas, about 25 years, they started this big 10-mile radius super collider tunnel that they created, and somehow something went wrong at that time, and they abandoned the first project. It costed multi-million dollars. As whose cost, only they know. So, recently, last April, they first let the, not this April, a year before, I read the newspaper. I was in London, and the newspaper herald, they were glorifying this particular project again, where about 2,200 scientists, international, and about over 200 were Indian scientists. And now they call it a God particle they wanted to capture. So they made another big super collider and super magnet to capture this particle. They call it God particle. They are advanced and they came to the term, it's called God particle. Maybe in caption because they can't explain. Maybe this particle can give us the clue about the life and we can create in the laboratory. So this was a 25-mile radius and it was located between the border of France and Switzerland. They put at different places helium coolers. Helium coolers are necessary because when you bombard a particle in atomic fission, they release tremendous amount of energy. Right? So, at different places, they wanted to cool. And they started the experiment towards the end of April. When I came to the United States, I didn't hear for the first 2 weeks anything because I was very eager to know about the trapping of the God particle. No news came. Then, about a month later, there was some news that they were keeping great deal of vigilance in this warming up process. They want to warm up. They never started collision yet. Then another month passed and all of a sudden they say, we have problem. The helium tanks are leaking and they already started the collider. Whatever happened in between, they turned down the collider and abandoned the project again and left for their life. Immediately, left the place because you never know. The whole earth might be shaking up. It was that kind of experiment they wanted to do, but they cannot control it. Human being, however collectively have four defects, they can't study properly. They can't think or meditate properly because of four defects. Which are the four defects? Imperfect senses can always create imperfections. And because imperfect senses, we are tend to be illusioned. The third thing, to err is human. So, we are not absolved from committing mistakes. However, united we are. There were over 2,200 strong scientists, but still, if one makes mistake, everybody makes mistakes. So, and the fourth, they cheat and lie. Everybody do little cheating or lying. Nobody is honest. If somebody says, I'm dead honest, tell them, please chant Hare Krishna. So, here, and this is the situation. Anoraniyam mahato mahiyan. He is smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest also, simultaneously. It is very inconceivable. But how Lord Krishna is permeated throughout the universe or the whole material creation as for that he can enter as Paramatma in each and everyone's heart as well as each and every living entity, each and every atom, whether alive or dead. This is what it says, that we have to study very carefully. So, it's very inconceivable that he is smaller than the smallest and he enters into the heart of this particle. Therefore he is called smaller than the smallest. As the Supreme, he can enter into the atoms and into the heart of the smallest and control him as the Super Soul. Although so small, he is still all-pervading and is maintaining everything. By Him all these planetary systems are sustained. We often wonder how these big planets are floating in the air. It is stated here that the Supreme Lord, by His inconceivable energy, is sustaining all these big planets and the systems of galaxies. The word Achintya inconceivable is very significant in this connection. God's energy is beyond our conception, beyond our thinking jurisdiction, and therefore it's called inconceivable, Achintya. Who can argue this point? He pervades this material world and yet is beyond it. We cannot comprehend even this material world, which is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. So how can we comprehend what is beyond? Achintya means that which is beyond this material world. That which is our argument, logic and philosophical speculation cannot touch that realm, that in which it's inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons avoiding useless arguments and speculation should accept what is stated in the scriptures like Vedas, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and follow the principles there set down. This will lead one to understanding. The study is required to understand properly. We fail to understand properly, and that gives rise to misconception. Om Ajnanati Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Satikam Jena Bhutale Rakiswapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Kripapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Saprajatam Saganaragunakandhitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadukam Parjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakantamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते तत्कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कविम पुराणम अनुशासितारम अनोरण्याम समनुस्मरिद्यः सर्वस्य धातारं अचिंत्य रूपं आदित्य व्रणं तमसः परस्तात्. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as He who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun and He is transcendental beyond this material nature. So, this verse is given as the perfect way to study a particular subject matter that is always baffling us. Even if we believe it, it is always baffling, because even though on one side it is said that this subject matter is inconceivable, yet we are supposed to study very scrutinizingly under the care of a bona fide spiritual master. If a lazy man argues that if it is inconceivable, why bother? If it is inconceivable, why bother to study? Can't belief alone cannot work? Just try that. It's very important to become intelligent at least. To make an intellectual endeavor is essential. Because if it is a matter of consciousness, everything depends upon our consciousness, how do we conceive the thing. There must be proper guideline, and this guideline is coming when something is created. A manual is coming. If there is no guideline, then we do not know how to use a creation. Most of the time even this microphone gives us trouble, is it not? Unless and until one knows the guideline about how to control, you know, we will not be able to make the best use of it. So when this material world was created, the guidelines were there, how to use it and why. We cannot use this opportunity under misdirections or whimsically. The guidelines were jotted down by the learned scholars, but they received the guidelines through the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one who is the original creator, through disciplic succession. Just like even we want to do the research, the beginning of a particular subject that is to be researched, we have to find out previously who has researched in the same subject or similar subjects. So we have to draw all the important references of them. Because once something is established, and if it is provable, upon which we can do further research. So therefore they must be quoted. So when we say that Tere Brahmaradaya Adi Kavayam, Krishna imparted this guidelines into the heart of Brahma, what's the big deal? He may not have written a thesis and then imparted. Because he is the creator, why should he write a thesis? A thesis is only a theoretical aspect. At the best. But when the Supreme Personality Godhead, when he is the supreme moiety for all causes, all the causes are attributed to him. So he becomes the cause of all causes. So why should he is subjected to write like us? But nonetheless, he can tell out of his sweet will, and it can be carried down via medium of oral reception. And those who are faithful to it, they become learned. They become learned. So there are two processes, ascending process and descending process. Krishna is teaching us through a disciplic succession that starts from him, and we receive the same thing. It is much more guaranteed, because in between, who are following the succession, they cannot change the meaning. That is the faithfulness of requirement of carrying down the disciplic succession. But succession is meant for university. It's called Amnaya or Sampradaya. This succession is working like university. The prestige of our knowledge depends upon prestige of the university. Where did we get the education? Because this university will be carefully dealing with all the subject matter and checking out properly whether the students have really learned. So, study or abhyasa yoga tena cheta sadhan nidamina is putting our thinking process into action in a very disciplined way. And the subject matter of the absolute vanities required as the source of all consciousness or source of our own selves, then we must get into that kind of university where it is giving us a guaranteed success. So, that's why to get linked up with such university or sampradaya is very much important. Otherwise, we may think that this is an armchair study, we can do ourselves, like reading do-it-yourself book and start working. No. This is not a do-yourself job. Here, the standard textbook is the Shastra. The disciplic succession means we have to study very prominent, prolific writers or self-realized souls who have given different facets of the same truth. And very, very honestly, without any change of the Lord's version that he originally gave. And then the present Acharya or the Guru, coming in the same disciplic succession, becomes your personal tutor, the guide, under whom we are supposed to study. It's not an armchair philosophy, do-it-yourself book, no. And the subject matter is very clear, whom we are studying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a Purusha, means he is a person, he has personality. He is not impersonal. Bhagavad Gita is a Purusham Puranam. He is the oldest and we have to study him. Why? Because we are directly connected to him as part. You may say, oh, which part is the part? The nose is not connected with Krishna, definitely. My nose is not connected. No, but my soul or my original existence is coming through him in his quality, not in his quantity, but a fraction. So, that study must be very specific. You can't study Lord Krishna simply by looking at painting or a picture or a deity itself. The whole process involves very elaboration, a great deal of elaboration. And you may say, oh, I don't have a time. No. All your time, when it is geared up in the consciousness of such study, perfection also comes. Because you are not going to do anything so whimsically as you might think, which may not have any connection. It is very rare. And only the butchers do that. Nobody else does that. So, most of us can approach very easily. Very easily. By dovetailing all our activity into His consciousness. Only consciousness is to be used as the medium. But in proper purification, and then what is required. In other words, we say, what is the ultimate that you will derive by reading a book yourself? Suppose you read Bhagavad Gita as it is. You will definitely gain required understanding, isn't it? But you will not become knowledgeable. The information is there. For gaining knowledge or first-hand experience is when you want to employ that understanding in your life. Why? Keeping Krishna in the head is not enough. Why do I have to put it into practice? You might say. Because the consciousness comes from Him. Is the source of consciousness. He is all-knowing and we are not knowing. And we want to study Him. How is it possible? And infinitesimal on His own cannot know the limits of infinite. So therefore, at least one who has realized the truth, which is of absolute nature, which is of infinite nature, at least he can guide us to the realm of infinite. At least qualitatively, may not be quantitative. How much do you expect from a guru? How much? All? Or some? That will be good enough. In a very poetic way, sometimes it is also said, even Krishna doesn't know what he is going to do next, sometimes. He can do, but he will not tell you, because he doesn't know. It doesn't mean that, you know, he is not the knower of the truth. But he is so spontaneous. Spontaneity in his transcendental existence is there. That is all encompassing, all pervasive. But Radharani knows Krishna's mind. The energies are the first one to know the nature of the energetic. the energies of the Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, they know. Because they are directly and subservient of this energetic. And they know it. Simply they manifest to us the desire of the Lord. So, simply by taking shelter unto such a bona fide spiritual master, at least if he can deliver you Krishna qualitatively, not quantitatively, it's good enough. Because there is no limit of the quantitativeness of Lord Shri Krishna. When he can become smaller than the smallest and greater than the greatest, why do you anticipate the greater aspect only and not the smaller aspect that is reaching into you? One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked this question. Srila Prabhupada, I want to take initiation, but can you please tell me, how many disciples do you have? And Prabhupada understood. Said, see, it's not like that. You will go to the airline and ask, how many seats you have sold on this route? I want to go to Mumbai from Sydney directly. How many seats you have sold? What you have to see? Whether the airline is bona fide or not. Whether it is going or not. If you want to go, purchase the ticket and sit down. Don't talk other nonsense. So, if we understand through this, by studying properly, on our own reading will give us only understanding, but if we don't practice, you know, we will never become realized. And when you realize, you will come to the conclusion that chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the only purpose in the life. It means remain Krishna conscious. Starting from chanting. First you hear, chant and remember and then onwards. Everything. But the foundation is based on this. So the idea is that sometimes people of small mentality, they pull each other's legs that, oh, don't go to that guru, you know, he doesn't know much. We have to see some charismatic person. They pull the guru. There is a tug of war. Not this, not that. As if they are going on a window shopping. Some may put up obstacles by putting some rhetoricism and this-ism and that-ism. But they won't qualify. They want only Prabhupada to qualify. And put all the burden on Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you are gone? Please take more burden of the sinful activity of the disciples that we bring to you. Why don't you carry if you are a bona fide disciple? A bona fide guru must have a bona fide disciple, not unbona fide disciple. They should be rejected. So, here we are told to study Don't take it blindly. We have to go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we are part and parcel. So therefore we must study very carefully under the guidance of the Guru and spiritual master. You can't make an excuse. Prabhupada said, reading Bhagavad Gita is not an armchair leisureliness. If you read some other philosophy book, you may read, but because it won't be on the treatise of absolute truth, and you can't do it. This truth initially remained obscure, not much exposed in the pages of Vedas, therefore Upanishads were written, where a specific demand was there that go to a guru, approach him, and study under his care, or stay near him. So, it is very important. Upanishad means, Upa means near, Guru, and you have to study. So this is very important, and here we are reminded that the absolute truth has to be a person. We do not give any importance to the impersonal aspect. It means this is the science of pure devotional service, and it has to be cultivated under the care of spiritual master. If somebody doesn't have Vaishnava Diksha and took Diksha from a Vaishnava, he must take again. That is required. Not that everyone will go. No. This is a very perfect sloka for giving us the importance of remaining studious, study, meditate, think about, don't take it blindly. Okay. So, anybody has any question?
Alright, as one begins studying the Bhagavad Gita, one may be confused that sometimes Krishna speaks in the first person, where he says, I am the source of all spiritual material worlds. But here, he's speaking in the third person as if he's speaking about someone else. So
that is Parmatma. Arjun, you must approach that person. That is called Parmatma, who is my explanation. Because he was present in person, not in expanded form. Krishna was present as first person, not an expanded form. But every living entity as Paramatma also in the expanded form. Therefore, if Krishna directly is not present before you, we have to learn about the absolute knowledge, then meditate upon it and within our own heart as Paramatma. That is the second realization, and then we will be able to, transcend. That is the system. Is it not the absolute truth is known in three phases? So, by studying Krishna, you will know the first two essential, and then you will be able to enter in the intricate aspect of Krishna. Devotional service means direct approach to Krishna. That's all right. But you do not get directly unless you get the absolute knowledge and the Paramatma feature. Krishna says, Bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya aham evam vidho arjun. Vidha means you know me first. Parambhavam. Parambhavam, the absolute nature that has been described here. Parambhavam ajananta mama bhutam. If we fail to know the Parambhavam, we are mudras. However, we may show that we are doing devotional service. But if we fail to understand Parambhavam, then we are fools. So, that should be. So, bhaktya tu ananyasak. Aham evam vidho arjuna. Vidho means I will be known as I am standing before you in my absolute form. Gyatu, not only that, you will know in truth. Drashtum, you will see. Drashtum means see. And what does yogi do? Yogi have only one desire, to see the Paramatma within his own heart. So drashtum is also coming, and praveshtum means you will become of one mind with Krishna, means if you be able to enter into his lila, in interactions. So all three phases are going to be covered. Vadanti tattva vidastattvam yadhyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. The absolute truth, personality of God in Lord Shri Krishna is known in three phases. The impersonal Brahman through the knowledge, localized Paramatma through meditation, and by pure devotional service, the personality aspect. So here, Krishna is directly telling. So when he tells that in a progressive aspect of your devotional service, you have to approach that person who is sitting in your heart. That is his primary expansion. Does he deny that? No, he tells. Uttamaha purushastvanya paramatmityudahrutam. In 15th chapter, he claims this, the Supreme Personality of God. He declares everything that I am the Paramatma. I am the Super Soul. Ishvara sarvabhutana amrateshaya vishnati. He is not a third person. This is expansion. But he is known as the controller within the body. We may be little controller, but who controls the body? And we say Krishna owns this body, so he will control his body. Can you take one more breath without the desire of Krishna? No. He is the ultimate controller. But we say simultaneously that Krishna is sitting in your heart. Krishna is sitting in your heart. What's wrong? Because he is expanding as Paramatma and he is sitting in your heart as an expanded form. It can be indicated as third person, but simultaneously it is Krishna. He is all-knowing. While presenting himself within each and every atom. And so he knows past, present and future. That's the same Paramatma feature. If he is entering within an atom, understand this. Our body are so complex and made up of so many cells. So many different kinds of cells. And some cells live only for 2.5 days. The cells of stomach, inner lining, lives only for 2.5 days. The blood cells live only for 120 days, not more than that. Anybody doctor? Yeah. Yes. You'll be surprised that at 7 years all the cells are changed. And the cells of particular types makes tissues, and many tissues come together to make an organ, and many organs make a body. So, do you think you are the body? Or you are made up of so many trillions of cells? And each cell is so complex that it has so many atoms. And Krishna is sitting in each and every atom. So how many Paramatmas are there in your body? Do you have any place to stay or claim this is my body?
No.
He's all pervading. Is it not? So when you think, when you study, even by this research, you will be surprised that we are nowhere in this body. We can be kicked out anytime. As part and parcel, in the terms of souls, we are also simultaneously present, and nobody can ignore. I cannot claim myself, I am the same Paramatma. Because I haven't created anything, neither I remember anything, and I am not pervading in each and every atom of my cell even. Rather, I am under a very sheer pressure. And I am always feeling pain even though I have no pain. I am completely illusion state. I am thinking what I am not. Right? But if we study deeply, we have no existence. The size of myself has been calculated in Kathopanishad. You know what it is? 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. And I don't know where am I in this 80 kilogram of body. Where am I? I have been given the residence, in here, along with so many entities. Only thing I am knowing little too much than them, but I do not know much of them either. But Krishna knows, because He is all pervading in each and every aspect. So we are existing in the realm of non-existence, virtually. So isn't this life like a dream? Even our eyes are open, we still dream, isn't it? But we don't think where we are supposed to think. So, the purpose of thinking is given to whom? We have to think upon whom is also given, and how to think is also given. Isn't it a matter of study, a proper study? So what kind of result will you get when you simply cram out all the slokas and chant one chapter a day? It may give a pious result at the maximum. But when you study under the care of a spiritual master, it will definitely put you on the threshold of liberation. It can free you instantly. If you worship Lord Sri Krishna in the deity form, that deity which is having an original form of Krishna can replace that Paramatma easily in the heart. Because after all, the Supreme Personality of God had been properly realized, you know, through the systematic study, he becomes the most predominant, most adorable, most thinkable personality, and it is much more attractive than the Paramatma feature also. Even the Paramatma feature is his own expansion. So this is how to have Lord Krishna in our heart. Through proper understanding aspect, deity aspect, and then get into spontaneous devotional service. Don't jump. Can we become spontaneous without realizing even Paramatma? Do you think these gopis are ordinary cowherd girls as such? And Krishna was so cheap to play around with them? So we have to be very careful in approaching the subject matter of the absolute transcendence. Any other question or discussion? Yes.
In my understanding, everything, the universe is energy, and even God is energy, so should we create energy?
Can energy exist on her own?
What is the difference between energy and God?
Energetic and energy. Unless and until someone is energetic, energy cannot be realized. And energy can manifest to prove the existence of God, the energetic. Does it make sense? Thank you.
Can you explain
what is the meaning of study the scripture under the guidance of the spiritual master? What about if someone doesn't have the spiritual master able now? Can you please help me? If you read the scripture, must have been written by somebody and presented to you that can be easily understandable. So, is there any question without spiritual master that you can understand? Scriptures are scriptures. Original slokas might be there, but the words of Absolute cannot be limited in expression. You cannot increase a verse, but you can write your own understanding based on the understanding of your spiritual master, or the one who teaches you, or one whose books you are referring to. Right? So Prabhupada said, it's never a question without spiritual master. It's always there. One person similarly asked to the Prabhupada, I'm reading Bible. Do I need a spiritual master? I said, you are reading Bible. Whose Bible? Who has written this? Somebody must have explained that you are reading. Said, yes, that's your guru. But try to understand the words only without the seeing the Guru, how he acts and how he has reached. There is no personal experience, is it not? But teachings are, if they are on absolute platform, they will give you that much benefit. You will be agreeing by reading, but at the same time, now you want, you are inspired to take shelter of one of our spiritual masters who are following in the same disciplic succession. So you must make a further step and try to materialize the whole system right before you. So as long as you live, you got an opportunity to become transcendental. Make the best use of that opportunity to study in the care of spiritual master. Make your life successful.
His point is well clear and understood, but I suppose for ordinary people to start with Jagan, it should definitely reach scriptures. Whether they have spiritual mastered as yet or not, they should definitely continue reading the scriptures and gain more knowledge. And just on your other point on the Bible, so can someone reading the scriptures on their own can take that, okay, Vyasadeva has written all these things, so Vyasadeva is our spiritual master.
But at the same time, life is a continuous experience. He will have to meet him. It's not impersonal. So it does not negate the necessity of the spiritual master. Sooner or later, you have to gain. If we take this guidance, the knowledge will dictate us to surrender practically to the spiritual master. That is the knowledge. The knowledge is not without spiritual master or just keeping, you know, we'll see in future, in next life, third life, fourth life. That is not intelligence. The knowledge dictates approach a bona fide spiritual master because he has seen the truth, he will show you the truth. Tad viddhi. Viddhi means to know. Pranipadena pariprasthena sevaya upadakshanti tam jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. Well, Krishna reveals the knowledge. Very next word. You know, what is that absolute knowledge? What is the truth about it? First of all, he says that when you thus gain the knowledge of the absolute, you will never have this illusion again. You will be free. And the knowledge is etanya bhutanya sheshani drakshas atmanyato mai. All the living entities are just my part and parcel. They are in me and they are mine. So bona fide spiritual master is not going to manufacture a new knowledge. It is already revealed. But because he has seen the truth by practice of it, Krishna is inviting you to make a practical approach for it. Dry philosophical knowledge does not lead anywhere. Seven, except hover around the false ego. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Before the Big Bang happened, or all the galaxies were made, it was just black. It was the blackness just there suddenly, or did God create that blackness?
Do you believe in Big Bang? Bible also says that. What was the Big Bang? In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God. And we say, yes, the Big Bang occurred, and it was Om. That was a Big Bang. As you can see, the scientists say, they theorize, but they never showed a Big Bang anywhere. They think, but they never proved anything. Did they prove? They speculate. They speculate. But regardless, if you think it's a Big Bang, then the Big Bang must have a sound vibration, is it not? Big Bang means sound. What is the first sound? The first sound was Om. Right? So there were black holes. There is so much darkness, and that is also coming to near to the reality. Yes, the whole material world was created in ignorance, darkness. But to see or realize something all around our material nature, we require artificial light, the sunlight, moonlight, electricity, like this. But in Krishna's holy place, Vaikuntha, they are all self-illuminated. Aditya varanam tamasa prastat. Aditya means the sun. Varanam looks like. Tamasa means the darkness. Parastat means beyond. Na tadbhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatvana nivartante tadhamam paramam mama. Where there is no requirement of sunlight, moonlight or electricity. Pavaka. And once going there, you never come back. That is my abode, and you were with me. When you become self-realized, you will be illuminating yourself inside. Illumination means light. Brahma Jyoti is also light. But Brahma Jyoti does not hang in the air without the source of light. That is Vaikuntha planets. They are self-illuminated. Aditya varanam tamasa parastat. So, the soul forgets when he comes in the darkness, doesn't know about himself. So by understanding Krishna's word, he becomes realized or illuminated, and then this illumination will guide him further to go back home, back to Godhead. Leaving all these black holes and pulsars and big bangs behind. Material world was created with a real big bang. It was created. But it is also sustained for some time, and it will be dissolved. Scientists say that in year 2011, midsummer to 2012, the radiation of the sun flares, is going to hit the earth so hard that they are trembling right now. And on the radiation of the sun glow, they flare up in a cycle of certain years. Just go on Google and you'll find out so many YouTube pictures also. The big flares. There are thousands of miles high, emanating horrible radiations. And nobody can, see. The global warming is a man-made created disaster, and this will, multiply. So better watch out. In Brisbane, they are already, purifying the sewage water and recycle. They do here too?
Not yet.
Because they all know. And this is just coming, they say, within 2 years' time. Once you chance Hare Krishna, now it's wise to chant Hare Krishna and be peaceful, isn't it? Or you want to just rest upon this mad scientist for another Big Bang? Don't wait for them, okay? Always think of Krishna and He will take care of you nicely.
And he is scared of planet X,
but
he will
keep
in the
tree. Oh, he's going to come and strike?
He does not exist.
Why do you believe this mad scientist? All these years they were counting Pluto as one of the 9 planets of our solar system. Now they say it's not there anymore. Aren't they crazy? Do you believe they went on Moon? Really? Then why do you believe the rest of the things?
I don't believe in Planet X. I just try to scare everybody at school.
The real medicine to get away from the scare is always peaceful. Chant Narasimha prayer and He will remove all the fear from your heart. Fear is generated by ignorance. Scientists have a lot of ignorance. Scientists have a lot of ignorance. And they want to blub out their ignorance more and more and create fear in the heart of those who are peaceful people, like you and me. I was also a scientist before. And I never made it through. I quit. I couldn't tolerate that madness. Yes.
Maharaj, one question was that for those of us in the Grihas Ashram, what is the correct scriptural or maybe whatever text for guidance?
Why are you called Grihastha?
We have a family.
Family. Good. Do you know where this obligation of raising family comes? Brahma is mastermind. Brahma is the first Prajapati, a householder. He did not need a wife at that time. Even Saraswati became his wife, Bharati, what we call. But Brahma was so powerful because he begged this power from Krishna. He wanted to serve Krishna because he realized, otherwise he also was born in the darkness. Nonetheless, he was born on the lotus of Lord Vishnu, isn't it, ma? But at that time it was so dark that Brahma could not find out about himself. Who is he? How is he? Why is he there? He started on his own looking around but can't see anything. And Brahma is the first living entity, Jiva. He got so much frustrated. He went all the way in the stem of the lotus and came up to Lord Vishnu's navel. But he was completely exasperated. He says, I cannot fathom anymore. So he came up again to his place. Simply, by intuition, if ant is coming in front of you and you push it away, it will start coming back in the same direction. So Brahma came and he went back the way he came without any success. And he got so much exasperated. So Krishna, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he became compassionate. So the first sound came from him, the Big Bang. And what was it? Tapa. Tapa. Twice. This transcendental sound went through 8 years of Brahma and he became realized, oh, something is there. And gradually he said, yeah, I know, I did this before. Brahma, I did this before. So let me do that again. So Brahma meditated tapa through 1,000 celestial years of demigods, he says. Then gradually he started seeing by realization. He can see himself, then he sees down, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is smiling, and he raised the foot, showing, take the shelter and I will fulfill your desires. So, Brahma started praying, my dear Lord, I want to serve you. Because besides Brahma, there were so many living entities who were suspended during the time of annihilation. Now they are getting uptight. And Brahma has to give them appropriate bodies. So Brahma is master engineer. He starts begging the creativity, the energy for creativity. So he can do visarga, means manifesting different species of life. So Krishna granted him because it was as devotional service, as an obligatory service to do on behalf of the Lord, that he will impart the bodies to the different souls and particular desires. So Brahma starts Manasaputra first through his mental conception. Narad Muni and Chatush Kumar were the first one to be formed, but they told, we don't want to become Prajapati, forget it. And Brahma got angry. Rudra came out, you know, because Brahma is the incarnation of the Lord in mode of passion. When passion is not satisfied, anger will immediately come out. So Rudras started manifesting, and then Brahma also created by mental conception seven great rishis, Marichi, Kashyap, Ityadi, and he ordered, you know, them to become Prajapati. So subsequently, the population, they will be able to impart the bodies to the suspended soul, because Krishna is going to fulfill their desires, so they become million. And these are all the demigods, all the devatas. And they become the Prajapatis, Daksha Prajapati and this. So, we see the functionality of Prajapati is to invite the suspended soul to take a form of the body. In the initial period, the Rudras were expanding and the other Prajapatis were also expanding, but there was competition and fierce fighting was going on, and Rudras were eating this Prajapati's progeny. So Brahma had to intercede, you know, let's stop this. You procreate and let them procreate. This is not the way to populate, because there are a lot of suspended souls are still there in their, subtle bodies of mind, intelligence and ego. So, then Manu and Shatrupa were created. Then through sexual intercourse, the Prajas have been begotten from that point. Meanwhile, Yakshas and Rakshas were also formed from the shadow of Brahma, and they were also antagonistic. What happened, Brahma, when he got enlightened, it was from the front side of his existence. So naturally all the demigods and others were the priority for Purvam. The Yakshas and Rakshas, you know, these living entities are so impatient because they were in the shadow, they were in the ignorance of Brahma's shadow. So they could not wait and they started rebellion. Someone say, kill him. And others said, don't spare him. The one who said kill him, they are called Yakshas. And those who said don't spare him, they are called Rakshas. So in this way, all the 10 different kinds of creations, Brahma is responsible. And especially those who are made in the image of God, they have been given by Manu Maharaj the obligation to become Prajapati in terms of Brahma's promise. That when we become Grahastha, we have to keep in mind this first and foremost obligation to the Lord, that my dear Lord will bring Krishna conscious progeny in order to liberate them from the clutches of death. Right now they are in suspended form. When they will come, we will train them. So the traditional sanskaras are coming down from that point. So the very first duty is to be obedient to the desire of the Lord as far as the progeny is concerned. And second one, to get guidance so the deliverance of the progeny will be there. They must accept a bona fide spiritual master, right? The third one is that the grahastha, especially the leader, he has to be very conversant with the purpose. So he should act externally expedite in the taking care activities of the entire household, but at the same time he has to remain detached. He has to listen to everyone, but only do according to the verdict of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And he will thus fulfill, and he will engage everyone in the service of Krishna. The fourth important function, that he has similar obligation to sustain or provide for all other living entities, whether wild or domestic, the small or big. He has to provide. So, these are the important tasks, and generally that what it means that food for life is the main function for the ideal grahastha. One devotee got married and came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I am a grahastha, what is my duty? So Prabhupada told him, then tell your wife to cook nice prasadam, offer it to Krishna, then you go out on the road and yell, is there anybody hungry? Oh, we are hungry too. Anyway, when everybody comes and take prasadam, then you feed your family and yourself. So, he was anticipating something extra. Prabhupada told him second time the same thing. Even third, there is nothing more important for an ideal grahastha. As far as obligatory processes are concerned, runanubandhan means, because man is a social animal, I mean social, of course, he has to look after Devarshi Bhutaptam Ranam Pitranam and Kinkar. There are five different kinds of living entities: the demigods, rishis, pitrus, and the servants, and general populace, nranam, right? All public welfare activities should be performed by them for the benefit of all. Generally, it comes into Panchashuna Yajna, you know. There are five different kinds of yajnas they are supposed to perform as a sacrifice for the welfare of everyone. It's not just throw some ghee in the name and that will suffice. No. You have to provide, you know. So, but if a grahastha is a pure devotee and if he is fully surrendered to Lord Krishna, you know, then he doesn't have these obligations. He is free from all the obligations, but otherwise he has to gradually, you know, be righteous and in dealings. It is obligatory in order to understand that because we are not independent, we are interdependent. And therefore, we must pay off. So, these are prerequisites of the grahasthas. And by becoming devotee means you are paying all your obligations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Therefore, that is described in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Narad Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj, an ideal grahastha life. So, it's very important. Sarvatmanaye sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam paridatta kritya. Those who are surrendered to Mukunda, then there are no obligations for him. Otherwise, Devarshi Bhutaptam Ranam Pitranam Nayam King Karucha Narpatim Charajan. My dear Parikshit Maharaj, one is obligated. So, public welfare system and others are there for those who are not devotees. and they are good gentlemen, so they should do. And there is nothing wrong with it. If one does in the name of Lord Krishna, then it is better. These are the outlines only. Anything else? Jai Jagat Krishna Prabhupada Ki Jai.